Good afternoon and welcome to Stage Talk, a weekly conversation about local theater. My name is Mark Muro.
And I'm Jean Paul. I'm here with our guest today, Linda Benson, who is going to talk about developing a show from scratch. And it started out to be what? When we first started, we were going to have a stand-up concert, storytelling.
Yes, but that doesn't appeal to a lot of people. So when Sandy approached me some time ago that they needed
Sandy
2 weeks,
Hopper, the artistic
Harbor,
director of Cyrano's.
Cyrano's, yes, approached me that they would like to have some sort of show that, of course, centers around Alaska because their whole year is centering around Alaska history.
Because of the 50th anniversary of statehood.
That would be it, Mark, yes. And so she asked me, and in the early 90s, I had done a show, 25-minute show, called Women of the Frozen North. I had compiled a little bit about 9 different women who came here during the Gold Rush. And this was told on stage, changing costumes constantly between these women, and it's very tasteful.
I saw
must
the
tell
show.
You, because I do not have a body that lends itself to being seen in anything but tasteful. Anyway, so that actually was quite a hit with tourists. I did it at the museum, and several came up and said, "We learn more about Alaskan history in this 25 minutes than we have all the time we've been here." I really wanted to revive that show, and in the meantime, Pam McDowell Saylor and I had found some time ago, a book called Minstrel of the Yukon. It's an out-of-print book. We both read it. We were absolutely fascinated by it, and we knew we had to tell these stories because they were true stories from the Gold Rush. And some of them quite fascinating. We both have told them, and so has the Storytellers Guild, told various parts of this book. But these are incredibly wonderful stories. So how could we work all of this in and make a regular full-length production? Well, Minstrel of the Yukon, Jack Hines, did a lot of singing. I am no singer. I have a range of 4 notes. So let's find someone who can sing and some music, because in the meantime, Jean Murray had published her book called Gold Rush Songs, and I talked to her, and she said, oh, take them and run with it. So we had these sources.
You had all this material.
Huh?
You had all this material.
Right. And I am no writer at all, but I think I can compile from different sources some things that I would like to have told. So all the transitions which occur in a play form are really all factual tales or factual things that happened. The hurricane in Nome, a snowball to put out a fire, a snowball fight kind of thing, and interesting stories. And certainly we haven't even touched the surface of the book yet. So it took compiling it and putting it all together. Then I had the pleasure of working with 2 dramaturgs for this event, people who could write plays and have proven that in the past, and that would be the 2 hosts of this show, Jean and Mark. And we would sit and you'd say, well, have you tried this? And, well, this won't work. So there was a lot of rewriting, and I hope what we've come up with is an interesting show with piano music by Lynette Harpel. The dance hall girl is being performed by Scarlett, and she sings. Scarlett Boudreau,
Kitty Lee Boudreau?
Kitty Lee Boudreau. And anyway, between the 3 of us, we will try to present a lot of interesting things about the early Gold Rush days.
This is Women of the Frozen North, and this is going to happen in 2 weeks at Cyrano's. It's a new show with Linda Benson, original material. Well, traditional, or you're going to reimagine the material for,
yes,
in the context of a show, of a narrative.
Well, Gold Rush Women, a book that came out some years ago, had fascinating things in it. So how do you put personalities into some of the women she talked about? And then I found out more about them later, too.
Yeah, it's one of the really interesting things about this, which makes it made it so compelling for me and interesting, was the fact that all this Alaskan, all this mythology, there's all these archetypes that were then and are here now, and in order to kind of bring that out so people could really engage in it. So it isn't like a museum piece. So it's not like something that is just a rarefied old story that exists without any context. Mm-hmm. So making it into a play form created a context and a continuity by which to basically deeply engage, hopefully, the audience.
And they can even come along for the sing-alongs.
Right,
because
it's taking place in a bar.
Yes, it does.
And the audience is in the bar itself at the time.
Mm-hmm.
So, and you are doing some of the acting, and you have a lot of experience as an actor, if not as a writer. So,
writing, that was a challenge, because I've done costumes and acted and directed and dress sets, but never written. So this was a new experience.
For those of you who are just tuning in, this is Stage Talk here with our guest, Linda Benson, talking about her show upcoming at Cyrano's that she started from scratch, which is called True Tales of the Frozen North. But they're not just storytelling.
Oh,
they're
no.
acted.
Mm-hmm.
And there's songs.
Yes.
And there's music throughout
yes.
the show. And is this going to be two acts?
Yes.
Okay. And so this, there's so many, like every summer, there's, if you go to Cabin Days up at Denali Park, there's all kinds of, Fairbanks has one in Alaska mm-hmm. Land, and there's all those ones through Southeast and everything, and Dawson, and all this Gold Rush kind of Alaskana from that colorful days of that, which abounds in all kinds of larger-than-life characters. And this I like this concept because we just see the regular people there. We don't have to have like a Chilkoot Charlie, or we don't have to have a whatchamacallit, from the Cyrano's, what was that
oh,
guy?
Oh, Soapy Smith.
Soapy, yeah.
Now, these are regular people.
Yeah, just in their day-to-day life.
Mm-hmm.
And but they talk about those folks because even back then they were legend. Yeah, because if anything like that in the frontier, get rich quick. I mean, instantly there'll be all these tall tales of, the guy who found, the gold nugget as big as your head, and then, hey, I can do that too. All you got to do is find one, and then I'm out of here, and I'll be set for life, All this kind of – that's kind of the magic and the lure, and also the it's poignant, the tragedy involved, how most people don't get that, but they get something else, and they get the story, and maybe they'll find a life in there somewhere, or at least it's a start.
And Jean Murray pointed out in her book that the Alaskan Gold Rush was different than other gold rushes because of the isolation and the cold. So it made it a much harder life than people at the California Gold Rush.
Yeah, in 1849, and this is taking place in Nome.
A lot of it is in Nome, a lot in, we say the Klondike, that's that Alaska, Dawson area, was all referred to as the Klondike.
Which it was referred to that way then, too.
Yes.
Because although there was a border between Canada and Alaska, nobody paid any attention to
right.
it.
Right, well, except
the
Canadian Mounties who used to throw all the no-gooders, the ne'er-do-wells, back over the border into Alaska. So they all came here from Canada, evidently. Compliments
yeah. well,
that of the Mounties.
That explains a lot about Alaska,
yes, it
doesn't
does.
It?
It's almost like a Botany Bay, Australia kind of thing. it's not quite a penal colony, but just like a reform school.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And it'll attract con men and, women who, are looking to make some money off those kind of guys who, the big labor pool and everything. So it's colorful in a word. And I think the material I know that you have here, I think goes a little bit beyond the surface of just a kind of a varnished touristic kind of a show where there's a wink, wink. I mean, there's much more detail and there's much more depth and emotion that is portrayed.
I hope so.
Yeah.
That's
a more
wanted.
Of a theatrical experience. Yeah.
Well, yeah, we don't want two-dimensional figures. We want three-dimensional figures who have a real life that you can believe existed.
Yeah, and utilizing the basic principles of what you want drama to do, like have somebody, you know, wanting something, they can't have it, there's an obstacle, they overcome that obstacle, and every character by the end of the show has a change, a deep internal change, so there's some kind of transference hopefully happening in the audience as well, and we go along on this ride, and we see this the drama of these lives unfold. And it's funny because you have like the three lives of the people on stage, and then you, as a storyteller, impersonate several people, right?
All of the women in the first part. And then I try to impersonate Jack Hines in the second act, who wrote Minstrel of the Yukon.
And Jack is the central character?
Well, the only male character
from
what you're saying.
Oh, we'll see if I can pull that off. I hope the audience will be,
they'll be with you.
Thank you. I hope so.
Yeah. And Scarlett has her character will break
He's
into
the
song.
Dance hall girl who breaks into song at the drop of a hat, yes.
Yeah. And Lynette Harple, the excellent pianist, accompanist, and she's also a character.
She is.
She owns the bar?
She owns a bar. She doesn't get to just sit and play the piano this time. She has lines.
That's great.
Yes.
That's great. And we don't see her with enough. Occasionally, she'll just, you know, have a gesture from the piano bench, but now she's going to be integrated.
She is.
So that's a yeah.
She's
it's a
sort
new
of
thing.
Sort of an observer.
Yes, in a way, she sits at her piano, and here's her. This is her saloon, and what happens here? Mm-hmm. And the dance hall girl works for her. They have a relationship. And if you come and you'll find
well,
out
it's not,
what it
yes.
is.
It's a day in the life of the gold
it's
rush.
A day in the life.
Yeah. Well, that's about all we have time for right now. I'd like to thank you for coming down and telling us about the show that opens in 2 weeks at Cyrano's. It's True Tales of the Frozen North, an original work by Linda Benson. And it's happening at Cyrano's.
Yes.
All right, thank you so much for coming down.
Thank you.
And now for the Stage Talk calendar. Cyrano's presents Meshuggah Nuns that runs through August 16th. Showtimes are Thursday through Saturday at 7 p.m. with a Sunday matinee at 3 p.m. Tickets are available through centertix.net or by calling 263-ARTS or by going to Cyrano's on the night of the show.
And tonight, one night only at the MTS Gallery in Mountain View as part of the First Friday Art Openings, Brian Hutton presents a premiere of a new work, in their own words, Emma Goldman and Adolf Fischer. This show starts at 9 p.m. and is free and open to the public at the MTS Gallery in Mountain View on Mountain View Drive, which is one block north of McDonald's.
And finally, opening at Cyrano's in 2 weeks, on Friday, August 21st, is True Tales of the Frozen North. This show runs Thursday through Saturday at 7 p.m. with a Sunday matinee at 3 through August 30th. For tickets, call 263-ARTS or go to centertix.net or call Cyrano's at 279-2511. Well, that's it for this week. If you'd like to download free podcasts of Stage Talk, visit our website at kska.org. Thanks for listening. Until the next time, I'm Jean Paul.
And I'm Mark Muro for KSKA.